specific book. Fuck the Constitution, stick to fuck the rules of them. Warfield, Nelfield, Barnafield and Panafield. Lots of local stories that you may never ken.
Now this episode of The Dork Express is brought to you by Snorty Jock's Quality Bakes, Oat Cakes and Shortbread Bites, and now Tablet. You can get the Oat Cakes and Shortbread in the local retailers on the east, which is namely Marshall's Farm Shop, Dorset Butchers in Kintore, the Post Office in Kintore, now Barra Berries in Old Meldrum, Greens in Inverurie and McLeish in Inverurie. And next Saturday, 2nd of July, there'll be a Snorty Jock stand at the Alford Heritage Centre if I was having an open kind of day. So there'll be a couple of different styles there, and Snorty Jocks will be one of them. So you can come along here if you can, and there'll be some samples you can try before you buy. But Snorty Jocks, quality bakes. Hi, I've like a day now. It's me, Alan Smith, where we publish the result of today's paper on Saturday, the 25th of June. Front page of the paper today is a new lease of life bid for local hero pub. So this is a famous local hero pub could live on without fear of destruction under a fresh plan. The owner of the Bumf Bar, brought to worldwide attention by the popular movie, reckons he can safeguard its existence as a tourist draw by turning into a cafe. George Wood was at the centre of a storm of protests when he proposed converting the Ship Inn into flats, obliterating the pub which was used for the interior of the fictional McCaskill Arms in the 1983 Belfast-sized film. Councillors argued the pub was a tourist attraction and threw out Mr. Wood's application for the change. Mr. Wood has now tabled fresh plans with Aberdeenshire Council, which may placate concerned movie buffs as he seeks to preserve the bar as a cafe. It would remain relatively unchanged with just the former lounge, which did not feature in the comedy film, being converted into a flat. Up to 20 customers could be accommodated at the cafe's 9 tables. And the planning application form states that Mr. Wood has received positive feedback on his revised scheme. Film fans have been making pilgrimages to this spot for decades, and the original bid to DIY with the pub prompted a huge backlash. So, well, that's just maybe like folk may know a lot to DIY, I would say, but some folk would visit it. Well, fair dues, but you would think after a while that is going to tail off a bit. You get more and more folk who have never seen the film. So, anyway, we'll see. But hopefully the man will get some, at least one flat out that he can rent out a day to visit today, and there will be a cafe to placate all the visitors. Now, here is Rishi Sunak warns that £20 million may be at risk if Union Street dispute is not resolved. So, the Chancellor has warned councillors that £20 million in funding for Aberdeen's new market could be on the line if Union Street is not pedestrianised. Rishi Sunak told the Press and Journal there would be a conversation between UK and city officials about the cash. Levelling up funding for the redevelopment of the BHS site on the Granite Mile was announced last October, as well as promising the market that city's application pledged there would be some pedestrianisation. The return of buses and taxis to Union Street Central this week came as city planners once again encourage councillors to back a project of full pedestrianisation. A decision could be seen on Wednesday. And speaking to P&J in the Granite City yesterday, Mr. Sunak warned the government would have to consider the £20 million grant if it did not gain a heed. Chancellor told us there would be a conversation between the Department for Levelling Up and the local area in receipt of the funds to make sure the funding is still delivering things we expect it to deliver. So, in other words, if they've already said they're going to do it and you're not going to do it, well, you're not going to get the seller. So, looks like they'll be back to drawing board. But to me, it would make sense to pedestrianise a wee bit. It would just be far better for everybody. I mean, you can, you know, it's not a big size. It's about 1,000 feet or something that they're speaking about pedestrianisation. So, I'm sure most folk can manage that. And just make it much more pleasant for folk going about in that wee bit. But we'll see if they have a vote in Windsor. Well, it might be close. But hopefully they will come to the right decision. It was my suggestion is. Now, here is Alfie Saver's sweet success. So after he was told he was too young to get a job, Alfie Much decided to take matters into his own hands. Inspired by a school project, the 12-year-old started a business selling customised sweetie cones door to door. Alfie has since enjoyed spending his pennies made for the business, and his mum has described him as quite a salesman. His mum, Jade Much, said the idea all started with a project at the school. He gings to Newmarket Primary, and they did a thing called Grow a Fiver. All the primary siblings were given £5, and they had to make a business from it, so that's what gave him the idea that sweeties sell well. She said that Alfie kept asking to get a job, but the odd jobs she would have suggested in the past, such as walking people's dogs or washing cars, are not easy these days. She told Alfie he would have to think of his own idea, and that's where the business was born. Alfie's confectionery Facebook page launched 12 months ago, and his sweetie packages are selling well. While he no longer goes door to door, he said he often takes talk to his youth group. When thinking of it to sell, Alfie said, "I just thought lots of kids like them, and it's something that's quite easy to sell." quite right, I would say. I just find it quite fun to sell stuff, and I'm quite money motivated. His mum said she was proud of what he'd done, and she was glad that he was realising the value of money, and you have to work hard to get it. Alfie added he didn't care what his dream job would be, only that it would have to be one that pays really well. Well, so say all of us, Alfie, so say all of us. But good luck with this. Alfie's confectionery sounds like a kind of thing I would like, and maybe swap you some oatcakes for it. Now, here is Belladrum favourites heading to Eden Court. So, Eden Court in Inverness has unveiled the lineup for its keenly anticipated Under Canvas season, which kicks off on July the 1st with a mix of top-flight music, including a Belladrum takeover. The multi-award-winning festival will see 42 days of live music, performances and DJ sets in iconic tents on the venue's lawn, all served with wood-fired pizzas and the best in local beers, gin and whiskey. Rebecca Holt, who recently took over as chief executive at Eden Court, said, "As somebody who will be experiencing Under Canvas for the first time, it's been incredibly exciting to see it take shape out in Eden Court's lawn over the last few weeks. The tent is up and the festoons are hung. The bar and pizza shack have been lovingly assembled, and we have an incredible lineup of music planned. Live events will run from Wednesday to Sundays throughout the summer until August the 27th, with a mix of leading musicians and performers." Well, absolutely a fantastic set, and you know, a great thing if you're up in Inverness to be able to see some of that things in the, you know, Eden Court is a very go-ahead kind of place, and there's certainly, you know, pulled out other stops to get this lined up, but yeah, good luck to them. I hope it is a fine summer, and they've got a cracking lineup. And you know, if you want to get tickets, you can look at edencourt.co.uk under Canvas, and hopefully you'll be lucky. But certainly, good luck to them. Brilliant, brilliant place. Now here is our very heartwarming tale. Two solitary cygnets find a cuddly carer. So two lonely cygnets rescued separately have found a happy ending and an unusual foster carer in a Northeast Wildlife Sanctuary. Little Sydney was brought into Newark near Ellen after being found all by himself at Lochter near Old Meldrum. A family found him alone near another family of swans but realised the other cygnets were much bigger. They then took him to the Newark to be looked after where he was first kept alone. Keith Marley, who runs the sanctuary, realised Sydney was feeling a bit down, so put him in with some mallard ducklings for company. Then a second cygnet, Stuart, was later found alone in Stuartfield and brought to the sanctuary. Stuart's arrival was fortunate for Sydney, who was not mixing well with the ducklings. The two were paired together and are now living happily in the centre with a lion, Teddy Fosterer. Mr. Marley said the cygnets were given the lion as a comfort, and the new ark has a stash of teddies for this reason. If they're on their own, we often put them in a soft toy as a comfort. Ducks in particular do fixate on things, and it's good for them to have something to cozy up to at night. Oh my God. Sydney and Stuart will bide at the new ark until they are fully fledged and have learned how to flee. Mr. Marley stressed that the biggest concern to the rescue centre is the avian flu outbreak. He says it's the worst outbreak ever in the UK and explained the disease can be symptomatic, meaning they have to be very careful when rescuing birds. Anyway, I'm sure I expect you're in a Stuart in Sydney and they're cuddled up to their lion teddy bear and look very happy indeed. So well done to our place for looking after them, and well done to folk for taking them in and making sure they're safe. Very good. Very bonny little toots, but maybe not so friendly when they grow up. But anyway, well done. Now just finish up with sport as normal, and you know, I think we've spoken enough about the Dons comings and goings, but there's also a hell of a player coming in and a hell of a going out. But another bit of the back page of the day is Scotland wifey's edging closer to a playoff place. And it says Scotland strolled till a 4-0 wifey's World Cup qualifying victory over Ukraine, and this game was played in Poland because of the fighting in Ukraine. So the game had been delayed and switched to the southeast of Poland because of Russia's invasion. Scotland were handed a perfect start when Claire Emsley was fouled in the Ukraine box and Weir expertly tucked away the 9th-minute penalty. So anyway, they got on to score the 4 goals, I think, in the first half, and the Scotland now have a 4-point advantage over Hungary in the race for second spot. Hungary have a game in hand, but Scotland will secure a playoff spot behind group leader Spain if they can beat bottom place Faroe Islands in September. So surely to God, the wifey's going to let it slip now, and we'll have at least one team in the World Cup. So come on, wifey's. Dean is proud. Now that's me finished for the day. Now just a wee puckly stories out of today's Press and Journal on Saturday, June 25th, 2022. And it has been a bit of a cooler day up in Aberdeen today. It was still very fine and sunny, just a bit more blustery. A bit of a stiffer breeze going about. But on the whole, very fine, and it's certainly fine for going about, and you can get in a gear for sure, as long as you tie a hang down. So thank you very much for listening to this podcast. No, hope you enjoyed it, and it'd be just great if you could tell a pal about it. You know, anybody, doesn't matter far they bide, if it's in Scotland or England, Ireland, Wales, or further afield, Europe, America, Australia, Canada, anyway that you can, there's an all Aberdonian or Aberdeenshire Lunar Quine lurking about. Let them get about the Doric Express, and they can log in and subscribe, and you know, be great to get a couple more listeners on the go. So in the meantime, thanks very much again. Now cheers, doodle.
Fuck the constitution, speak the fuck the rules again. Wrong field, Nell field, man a field and pan a field. Lots of local stories that you made in a care.